In the end of the second reading, we talked about Hashem gazing down from the heavens and blessing the nation of Israel and the land that He has given us. The third reading opens with the notion that the covenant that Hashem gave us is ever fresh and new and dynamic. And it kind of dovetails into the mitzvah of Bikurim. Chapter 26, verse 16. Hayem azeh Hashem elekecha mitzavcha. It's on this very day that the Lord, your God, commands you. La'aseis es hachukim ha'ela, to do these statutes. V'es ha'mishpatim, and its ordinances. V'shamarta v'asisa meisam. You should watch, or guard, and do them. V'chol levavcha, with all your heart. V'chol nafshecha, and with all your soul. Hayem azeh, this day Hashem commands you. This is not the first time we hear God commanding us about mitzvahs and telling us that we should see it as something fresh, something new, something dynamic. This is a concept which is mentioned multiple times already. An obvious question we could ask is, what's the cadence? How does that follow verse 15, where we say, Kasher, as nishbata laviseinu, eretz zavas chalav v'dvash, as you promised to our ancestors, a land that flows with milk and honey. Hayem azeh Hashem elekecha mitzavcha, pardon me. And this day Hashem commands you. So the Baal HaTurim says that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hinting to us that as per the verse in Tehillim in the 105th chapter, where it says, Vayitin lahem artzas goyim, He gave them the land of the nations. And the Pasuk finishes off, Ba'avur yishmeru chuko v'sereis av yinzeiru. That's on condition so that they might keep the commandments, the mitzvahs that He gave them. So here we see it. This is where this, you could say, is the origin of that pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem is telling us, here's the land. This is the land that Hashem has given us. This is the land that He forswore to our ancestors, a land that flows in milk and honey. You want to remain in the land today? He gave us the land. But should we want to remain in the land today, what's required is Hayem hazeh, that you have to know Hashem elekecha mitzavcha, that God is commanding you, and you have to know that it's your mission, your purpose, your ideal, v'shamarta v'asisa isam. So that's the concept. It follows the land of milk and honey. Hayem hazeh, that Hashem gives us the land of Israel today. How did this happen? When we behave and we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. So what does it mean, Hayem hazeh? But God didn't tell us to do this today. He told us. Told us Har Sinai. I mean, this is a long idea. It's not from today. So the Psalm Yigoyen says, you should know that God is telling you today. Every single day, God is as if giving you the mitzvahs all over again. And it's as if today, the Sefarno says, you're entering into a covenant with God. And this is a daily occurrence. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, Hayem azeh Hashem elekecha mitzavcha. This is the day that God is giving you the mitzvahs. And of course, that doesn't make sense. It's not the day. This is not the day of Matan Torah. So Rashi says, the Torah is telling us, B'chol yoyim yiyu be'inecha. Each and every day of your life, the words of Torah should be in your eyes, chadoshim, as if they are fresh, new, and dynamic. Something you never saw before. Ki'ilu boi ba'yoyim nitzavesa aleim. As if it was on this very day that we got the commandment. This is a Medrash Tanchuma. And Rashi invokes that Medrash Tanchuma in explaining the Pshuta Shel Mikra. In other words, it cannot be Kipshuta. It cannot be that we should say, Hashem gave us the mitzvahs today. That doesn't make sense. That's impossible to say. So there has to be some kind of proverbial idea. It has to be some euphemism. We say, Hashem gave you the mitzvahs today. What could that mean? It could mean that you have to view the mitzvahs in a fresh way. You have to see them as something which is new. Now, the interesting thing is that here we're talking about the concept of Bikurim, and the follow-up, if you will, is Hayem azeh Hashem elekecha mitzavcha. So some of the Mefarshim explain it like this, Erechaim and others. They say there are certain mitzvahs that come only once a year, and certain mitzvahs do every single day. So a person can say, today Hashem wants me to read the Shema. Today Hashem wants me to engage in prayer to daven. Today Hashem wants me to give tzedakah. Then a person could say on a particular day in the winter, today Hashem wants me to give bikurim. It's the middle of the winter. It's the middle of the month of Shvat. There are no fruits to be seen. There are no blossoms that are appearing. There's nothing I can do. or it could be a particular day in Chodesh Nisan, the world is green again and everything is blooming, but I can't do anything. I've done my Bikurim activity. I went out to the trees. I saw the first blossoms. I already identified them. I tied on a little ribbon, and now I have to wait for it to grow. So what should I do today? Today, I don't have a mitzvah. The mitzvah I do once a year. Once a year, I bring the Bikurim. So the Mefarshim say, nonetheless, the point that's being made to us is even a mitzvah that comes once a year, even if it's the kind of mitzvah we make a Shehecheyanu for, so, oh, I'm still alive today. I've returned. I've come back to this mitzvah observance. I have to see that mitzvah as if it accompanies me each and every single day of my life. Hashem has given me these mitzvahs all over again. I may be able to fulfill it once a year, but the mitzvah is being given to me on a regular basis. And the point then is, as the Or HaChaim says, the entire Torah was given to us at Har Sinai. And these are things, some of these things are require action all the time, and some of them are only in Eretz Yisrael, like the Bikurim, like the Meiser, like the tithes we talked about. And we must know that each and every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that mitzvah all over again. Now, once you frame it that way, that this idea of the Maimed Har Sinai is something that accompanies us at every time. As the Sifsei Koyanim says, that the Torah wants you to live with the maimed, with that concept of Har Sinai, that it's not something of historical interest. Even if you're a believer, I believe that once happened. Statistically impossible to make up a story in which millions of people were involved. The next generation would immediately question, show me their people, show me their participants. It's statistically impossible to create historical facts like that. It would have to be disproven at some point. You can create historical facts. Years later, you can come to people and say, if you believe X, Y, and Z, then you can live and you get a tax break. But if you don't believe it, we're going to kill you. Well, that's exactly what happened with certain faith systems. So whether it was incentives or you're going to have your head handed to you, people said, oh, right, we forgot. That's what we believe, right? But those beliefs didn't involve millions of people. Those beliefs didn't involve a multitude of individuals or a crowd. They involved somebody who said he saw something, or 50 people who said they saw something. And as P.T. Barnum said, you can fool all the people all the time. You can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time. You can't fool all the people all the time. You can't fool a whole group of people, millions of people, and tell them they saw something. That's not possible. So you tell you must believe that 5 people, 10 people, 50 people, 100 people saw X, Y, and Z. Okay, fine. If you don't believe, we'll kill you. Oh, of course I'm going to believe it. But here, I'm talking about a historical fact. So the Tzitzit Kainim says it's more than that. Not only we have to believe that there was Har Sinai, not that God once gave us a Torah at Mount Sinai, but we must believe also that this notion of Har Sinai is something that leaves its imprinture on a daily basis for us, even if it's a mitzvah that comes just once a year. As Rashi goes on to say, this is the day that God is commanding you, and therefore, that you should continue to do this. Rashi says something fascinating. Do you know what this means? Is it a command? Or is it a matter-of-fact comment? What is it? So Rashi says, you know, when you read this pasuk, Hayeim hazeh, Hashem alekecha, mitzavcha lases, Hashem commands you to do all these things, and then it says again, v'shomarta v'asisa, you should watch, it's basically repeating the commandment twice. You said, Hayeim hazeh, this is the day, Hashem alekecha, mitzavcha. Not that God once upon a time gave me a mitzvah and therefore today I should keep it. Today God is commanding you. Today he's commanding you. Okay, today he's commanding me. And then Torah comes along and says, so you should keep them. You just said, you already gave me the command today. Why do you have to repeat that I should do it? We start, the outset of the pasuk was, so v'shamarta v'asisa, therefore Rashi says, is not a command. But rather, this is a blessing. A blessing? Yeah. You did a mitzvah? You behaved appropriately? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and blesses you. Bas koil mivarachte. There's a heavenly voice. What does the voice of heaven say? It blesses you. And it says, Hevesa bikurim hayoyim. You brought bikurim today. That's what just happened in verse 16, verse 15, and verse 14. You brought bikurim today. Very nice. Tishne, may you repeat this Lashana Haba next year as well. Every single day you have to see it, God gives you a mitzvah. Even if it's a mitzvah that comes once a year. And when you do a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses you. And he says, may you be able to repeat this. May you be back again next year to be able to perform the same mitzvah all over again. Now this is very, very unusual, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and should be blessing us in this way, but even more unusual is Rashi's evoking the image or the sounds of a voice from heaven. Basko Mavarachte, say Hashem Mavarachte. A heavenly voice. What is this heavenly voice? So we'll come back to this in a moment. I just want to quickly move into verse 17 and 18. We hear now about the special relationship that we have with Hashem. Es Hashem he'emarta. It is God that you he'emarta. What does he'emarta mean? It says you he'emarta God. You he'emarta him, li yesh l'chol l'likim, he should be for you like a God. V'lelechas bedrachav, you should walk in his ways. V'lish mechukav, you should keep his statutes. U'mitzvesav, and his commandments. U'mishpatav, his ordinances. L'shmei bekele. You is he'emarta, Hashem says Hashem he'emircha. You he'emarta, I he'emircha. This is like a reciprocal thing. And what does it mean? He'emarta he'emircha, Hashem he'emircha. We he'emarta Hashem as our God. We walk in his ways. We do his mitzvahs. He reciprocates and he's he'emircha. What does he he'emircha us with? He'emircha yeim li yeis le'lam. He's he'emircha. He says, you should be for me as a nation. What kind of nation? La'am segula, a treasured nation. You make me a God. I make you a treasured nation, said God. It's reciprocal. You do this, I do that. Kasher dibartalach, as I spoke to you. V'lishmer kol mitzvesav. And you should keep all the mitzvahs. So what is hemarta and what is hemircha? Rashi says, I want to tell you a little funny thing. These two words have absolutely no corollary anywhere in the entirety of the scripture. There is no other place in the Chumash where it says hemarta and hemircha. You lucked out today. You came to one day. You have the one word that shows up only once a year. You happen to come today. Look at that. What is hemarta and hemircha? Ein lehem eid mechiach. Usually you want to know what a word means, so you get testimony from somewhere else. Sometimes a word shows up in the scripture. Remember, Jewish people made a point of not speaking scriptural Hebrew. Why? Spoken languages change. We don't want the Torah to change. So we didn't speak Hebrew. We always had a secondary language that we used for mundane, ordinary things. We had a holy tongue, used for holy things like prayer and Torah study. And then we had, whether it was the Yiddish of the last 1,000 years, the Ladino of the Sephardic Jews, or the Aramaic that preceded it. Even our father Abraham spoke 2 languages. He spoke Hebrew for holy things and Aramit for ordinary things. It's a mistaken notion that we once used to speak Hebrew, then became a diaspora people, and we lost our language. It's not true, we didn't lose our language. Look at all the holy books, all the Sfarim, all the Shaul Tshuvas, the Shulchan Aruch, it's all written in Hebrew. Why couldn't they speak Hebrew? the Beit Yosef could have spoken Hebrew. He made a point of not speaking Hebrew. He spoke Ladino. The Rambam could have spoken Hebrew. He wrote a whole book in Hebrew. He wrote multiple books in Hebrew. He made a point of speaking in a Hebraicized Arabic. Why? Because that's what Jewish people did. They had a secondary language. They want languages to change. So when we come across a language, a word in the scripture, and shows up only once, this becomes an issue. Because it's not a language we've been using. So we say, what does this word mean? So okay, we look across and scan the scripture. We find another word in which it's pretty clear and overt and obvious what the word is saying, and that'll be an eid mechiach. That'll serve as testimony as to what this word means. Now she says, you're up in a hard spot today. Ein lecha eid mechiach. There is no other word in the scripture that will be able to use. Okay, so what does it mean? So Rashi says, v'li nira, and to me that it seems that it's lashon hafrasha v'havdala. The word hafrasha, lahafrish, means to single out or separate. And lahavdala means to set aside, like making havdala, making a separation. To single out or to separate. And this is basically what happens. Hivdalta lecha melekeh anechar liyistacha le'lehim. You singled him out from all the other gods, proverbial faith systems and gods. He said, no, this is my God. This is my God. Very good. Keneged. So what has Hashem do corresponding to that? He reciprocates. Hu hifrishcha elav. He separated you. He made you a special people. We singled out God. He separated us. There's this business of reciprocity in our relationship with God. We singled him out. He separated us. That we should be different. Misha'ar ame'ar. It's from the other nations of the world. Li yes, that we should be loy la'am for him as a nation. What kind of nation? and Am Segula, a treasured nation. So this is the key. This is why I wanted to go into just verse 17 and 18 to talk about Hemart and Hemircha, because we emphasize the notion of reciprocity. And once we have this idea of reciprocity in place, we have this notion initially with regard to the Bikurim. We bring the Bikurim, Hashem blesses us. We talked about reciprocity yesterday. And here we see that the Torah continues. After verse 16 and 17 and 18, the verse essentially frames our relationship with God as reciprocal. In view of all this, let's take a look and see how the Rebbe explains this voice from heaven. Page Ayin Dalet. Yud Gimel, Simon Yud Gimel on the Biurim book, the Rebbe says, "B'mekoymos rabim." We might ask, there are many places in the scripture where the Torah chooses to give us reward or a blessing for the fulfillment of a mitzvah. Aval b'shum mitzvah, not by a single mitzvah, the single biblical notion, do we notice this verbiage. Does this word show up? Rashi never uses it, not before and not after. We never talk about a voice of heaven. Rashi never comes along and says, Baskel, that is a voice from heaven that decrees or declares that the person should be back to do the mitzvah again. This is the only time. What motivated Rashi? What forced him to explain this word that says, Vishamarta Vasisa, that you'll keep and you'll do? Rashi says, a basko, a voice from heaven. Why? Why doesn't Rashi just say, Haftochahi, it's a promise. Ushmarta Vasisa, it's a promise. God says, you'll do this. You did it once, you'll do it again. It's the greatest blessing. If anybody could get a guarantee at any particular moment in the year when they're doing something, what's the best guarantee you could have? You'll be back again. The best guarantee. There was a famous chassid who lived in Tel Aviv. His name was Shmayor Gerari. He owned Time Cigarettes. You remember Time Cigarettes when you were a kid? He owned and a bunch of other cigarette companies. He was a descendant of people who owned cigarette companies back in Russia. In Krimichuk, they owned the factory making cigarettes. Anyway, he's a very wealthy man, and he used to come every year on Erev Yom Kippur and stay by the Rebbe until after Simchas Torah. Every year. In the last year of his life, I think it was in his high 90s, by Kosho Bracha, the Rebbe would give a little bit of wine from his cup to everybody assembled, right? And they keep refilling the cup and they keep pouring. So he came by and he asked the Rebbe for a promise. He wanted a guarantee he'll be back next year. He's like 97. He wanted a guarantee I'm back next year. The Rebbe didn't respond. And he was a very stubborn fellow. He stood his ground. Finally, the Rebbe said, Amen. The guy landed from Israel, Erev Yom Kippur in the morning. He died that night in Shul. Oh my. It was the freakiest thing. In 770, right before Kol Nidre. The whole Shul was packed. The guy died in a heart attack right there. He said to the Rebbe, I want to guarantee I'm coming back. Till the Rebbe said, Amen. The point is, if you could get a blessing at any given time, what would you want? Could I be back again? Can we come back again? It's the best thing. A guarantee, another year guaranteed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a guarantee. It's very unusual. Hashem says, I give you a blessing. You did mitzvahs. You should do other mitzvahs. No. Rashi says, Tishna, you'll be back again, Lashon Haba. And not just Tishna, Baskel, a voice from heaven. What's up with the Baskel? Why a voice from heaven? I heard a voice of America. I never heard a voice of heaven. It doesn't show up anywhere. For the only time we have a voice of heaven that's telling you you'll be back again next year. And what forces Rashi? On a literal level, the whole voice of heaven thing seems superfluous and unnecessary. So the Rebbe says that the explanation is this. The entirety of this firstling fruit story, the whole Bikurim narrative, is mevuseses kula, is entirely founded and based on the notion of mida keneged mida. Literally, a measure for a measure. In plain English, reciprocity. It's all about reciprocity. Ha'adam makir toidel HaKadosh Baruch Hu achasadav. What is the essential message of Bikurim? Bikurim is a man who's saying, I appreciate. Shocking. A man who says, I appreciate. Do you ever hear of such a thing? A Jewish farmer comes along and says, I appreciate. I appreciate God's kindness. I appreciate it. I got fruit. Hey, everybody get fruit. I got a farm. Everybody's got a farm. No, that doesn't work that way. I appreciate that I have a farm. I count Hashem's blessings. I appreciate everything I have. I'm grateful, and I'm giving ear to my gratefulness. Rabbi Shachar once told me that in his first yichidus, in his first private audience with the Rebbe, he asked the Rebbe, how could I be a chassid? And the Rebbe told him three things. And the first thing was that you should live a life of gratitude. The Rebbe said to him, when you wake up in the morning and your shoes are next to your bed, you should thank Hashem that your shoes are there. I put them there last night. Nothing can be taken for granted. Everything is a gift. Everything you have to live with appreciation. So a person is grateful. He worked hard, and now his farm has reached a point where he sees blossoms. His trees are starting to show up with some kind of growth. Right away he marks it. These are the first blossoms. And then when he harvests, he puts those fruits aside. He gathers them together. And he comes to Yerushalayim, and he puts them in a basket. And what does he do? He says, thank you. He says, I appreciate. A Yid says, thank you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitzidoy chayzer umanek leschar al HaKadosh Tehidazu. What does God do when a person finally just says, thank you? God says, you're welcome. I appreciate that. You appreciate me, I appreciate you. And that's what the Pasuk says after. Es Hashem Hemarta. You just read it, verse 17 and 18. You singled out God. You thanked God for your success. God says, I separate you from the other nations. This is all about reciprocity. You said thank you, I say you're welcome. You recognize me, I recognize you. You make me your God, I make you my people. And the Rebbe said, if you look at the idea of Bikurim, you'll see that it breaks itself into four parts. Number one, there's the business of Vayevienu Ala Makam Hazeh. What's the first thing we say thank you for? Before we say thank you for fruit, what do we say thank you for? For the land. God brought us here. We as a nation were in different places, and we were threatened with annihilation and genocide. And God saved us, and He brought us home. He brought us here. So what does a Jew do because God brought us to the land? How do we respond? How do we reciprocate? We come home to Him. He brought us here, we go there. We didn't live in Yerushalayim. How many people could live in Yerushalayim? The farmers didn't live in Yerushalayim. They were the people greeting the farmers. The farmers lived in the farms all over the land. We say, God brought us here, so we go there. See the reciprocity? What's the next point? The next point is, Vayitein lanu, we acknowledge that He gave us a land of Eretz Zavas Chalav Advash. So what do? God gave us a land that flows of milk and honey. What do? We bring God the fruit. Because the honey is not bee's honey, it's nectar from the fruits. We bring God the fruit. Hini hevesi es reishis pri ha'adama. I brought the first thing fruit. What's the third thing? The third thing is that a person brought bikurim. A person brought bikurim. It's a once a year thing. This is a covenant. You have to remember God gave you the Torah every single day. However, God says, if you live with this every day, you brought it today. What does Hashem say to you? You came today. I bless you to come again tomorrow. But the last part of Bikurim is this. The last part of Bikurim is that a person has to raise his voice up. It says, V'anisa v'amarta lefnei Hashem aleikecha. Now people think V'anisa means to answer, but it doesn't always. Here, V'anisa means l'shein haramas koil. Rashi says it means make it audible. Don't whisper thank you into your sleeve. Say it out loud. There's a famous teaching that of all the parts of the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, all we do is we say, Amen. But there's one blessing, we don't just say Amen. What do? We raise our voice and we say, we recite along with the Chazan. Which blessing is that? Modim anachnu lach shatavu Hashem. We say thank you. What's the reason? Because when we're saying thank you, number one, you have to say it yourself too. Number two, you have to say it out loud. Thank you shouldn't be whispered. Thank you should be audible. Thank you should be loud. Thank you should be clear. So it says, V'anisa v'amarta. You don't come and whisper before God. You raise your voice up. So a person raised his voice up. What's God going to do now? You raised your voice. You raised your voice in thanksgiving. You raised your voice in appreciation. You raised your voice in joy. You raised your voice in jubilation. God says, I'll raise my voice. Basko mevarachtai. That's the voice from heaven. Because there's reciprocity here. We raise our voice. Rashi says, a voice comes from heaven. And it says, Hevesa bikurim. You brought firstling fruit. Very nice. Tishna l'shana haba. You'll be back again doing this next year. And now you know why we have a voice from heaven. And we have to remember that it's all reciprocal. We do what Hashem asks of us. help of Hashem, he will do what we hope, anticipate, and ask for.
Thank you.